Yeah, so what happens? What do you do when life happens is the question. And the answer, if you've been listening to our show, is you get catalytic. I am Cheryl Hirsch-Kramer. I am your host, and I am very happy, as always, that you've chosen to be with us, either live or via the archive. You are the reason we do this. So if you don't show up, no point in my showing up. So thank you for being here. Thank you for your interest, and thank you for telling your friends about this. We have a lot of great content coming up. The next couple of months, we're going to have some very interesting guests. We're going to talk about synchronicities and miracles and all sorts of magic. And who couldn't use more magic in their life right now, right? So we're going to have a lot of it here. And stay tuned, because March will be a particularly magical month. So tonight, we are going to talk about sabbaticals. And it's a word that's not popular, and it needs to become much more popular. If you're going to take apart the word, it's Sabbath. So it's having a Sabbath from your life. It's having a break from your life. It's doing something you wouldn't normally do. Educators generally get a sabbatical every X number of years, and they can go out and they can write their great novel, or they can go off and have a nice vacation, or they can go off and clean their house, or they can think about what it is they want to be when they grow up. There's lots of ways of doing a sabbatical. I used to have an uncle who took a sabbatical every few years. He would go to Italy, and he would study the language, and he would go visit churches and museums. And this was not his work at all, but it was such a big break from his work that he looked forward to his sabbaticals. I needed a sabbatical a couple of years ago. My dog, and you know her story, you've been listening to this, my dog had recovered from cancer. And all of a sudden, about a year and a half after she recovered, she started collapsing. And she started losing weight, and she started not wanting to eat, and she was 15. So most people would say, well, I guess she's getting old, she's getting ready to check out, and it's time to get her to the vet. And I knew it was not a medical issue. If it had been a medical issue, she would have been at the vet yesterday. But I knew I was doing something. Didn't know what it was, but I knew I was doing something that was causing her to decline. So I asked for a sign. You ever do that? You ask for a sign? I asked for a sign. And I actually found a sign. I was driving past the church, and there was a sign on the lawn that said, "Seek God." So how about that? I got a sign when I asked for a sign. And when I realized I was supposed to seek God, I thought, okay, well, that means I got to get away from everybody in my life. And I didn't know what that was going to look like. I sent an email, and I said, "I'm out of here. Happy Thanksgiving. Don't call me. I'll call you. And, you know, I need to take this time. I'm going to be communing with God. I want to see what I need to learn to help my dog get well." And it felt really good, which surprised me. And I noticed that as soon as I cut off from everybody in my life, I started getting more energy, and I started feeling more balanced and happy. And I also noticed my dog started eating and stopped collapsing and started putting back the weight that she had lost. It did not take long. Really, about 2 days into this thing, we went to a park. I didn't travel for the sabbatical. I stayed at home. We just went out to parks and places she'd like to walk. That was our big travel experience. So one day we went to this park we used to walk in, and there was a man, and didn't know him, never saw him again after that day, and he was walking a small dog. We just fell into conversation, and my dog, who was unable to walk more than a few feet without collapsing, walked a mile with this man and his dog. She liked the energy. He was focused on her. He was giving her love. He was giving her attention. He thought she was fascinating. And I told him her story about the cancer recovery. He thought that was amazing. And you know how it is when we get nice attention. We eat it up. And she felt honored by this man. She felt cared about by this man. He kept looking at her and commenting on how beautiful she was and how much grace and poise she had and how dignified she was and, you know, how queen-like she was. And I loved listening to this, and apparently so did she. And that's when we turned the corner. So I realized I need to be away from everybody in my life. Why? And then as time went on, I started seeing I felt more balanced and centered. I started getting my creativity back. I started getting my energy back. I started getting back a lot of what used to make me, and I liked having that very, very much. Plus, I had a dog who was healthy again. I had 7 more months with her. I have no doubt if I had not taken this break from my life, she would have been dead very quickly. But I had the gift of 7 more months because I had a sabbatical, and we did it together. So I decided that I needed to offer a sabbatical to the world. If nobody's been able to do this on their own, I'm going to do a stay-at-home sabbatical. And how this works is it's 22 days in a row. You give me 22 days, and I will give you a refreshing view of your life. to what turns out to be. You can read about this at my website, transformingthroughlove.com/events. And I now have a March sabbatical all ready to go, and I'm going to do this in April and for the foreseeable future. Price is probably going to go up, so March is the last month I think it's going to be this price. But it was a great experience. We had a beautiful group of people. We did the stay-at-home sabbatical together. We had one woman from California. We had two women from Maryland. We had a woman from Canada and from Ontario. And then we had me in New Jersey. So we had North America really well represented. And nobody really knew each other. I mean, two of the women were sisters. They knew each other. But I knew everybody. I was the link that held everybody together. And the energy was so beautiful. People really got into this, and they did the assignments, which were not lengthy assignments, and they shared what they were experiencing. And I wanted to share this with you, whether you do my program or not, and I hope you will, it's really great, but whether you do my program or not, consider the idea of taking a break from your life. Listen to what my beautiful guests have to say and what I have to say tonight, and say to yourself, do I need to do this too, either in her program or some other way? Do I need to have my life refreshed right now? So you are going to meet two adventurers in my program, 22 Adventures in Refreshing Your Life, the Stay-at-Home Sabbatical. Welcome, Wendy and Paula. Hey, guys, how you doing? Okay, so I'll talk for about a minute more. Wendy lives in Maryland, and Paul lives in California, and they came in for different reasons. They came in to refresh their lives for different reasons. And Paula turned out to be the group cheerleader. She was the one who was always posting things on our Facebook group. She would post encouragement and share her experiences. And you have to have one of these in every group, and she was ours. What a beautiful service she did for all of us.
Oh, it looks like you're on.
Hi. We have everybody on? Both of you are on?
I'm here.
Yes.
It's Paula.
Yay, you're both here. Okay, so audience, this is Wendy and Paula. Wendy and Paula, this is the audience. Go shake hands. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're going to talk about the experience that we all finished yesterday with the stay-at-home sabbatical. And I just gave them a brief intro. I told them your first names and the states in which you live. And now they're going to get to know you, and they're going to get to know what we did in 22 days. So let's start with you. What was your reason for wanting to do the stay-at-home?
I'm sorry, who were you talking to?
Paula first, and I'll bring you on, Wendy.
Oh, okay. No,
oh,
fine.
Okay.
I couldn't hear.
Yeah, I know, neither could I. Why did I want to do this? Coming into 2016 has been very challenging for me. I really couldn't wait for the month of January to get over with. Anything that could go wrong was going wrong with family, relationships, applying for jobs because I'm currently not working and being turned down to just nothing seemed to be going right. So I needed to make a huge shift. And I saw Cheryl's post on Facebook, and I knew I needed to connect with her again. We met in the late 90s, and I knew that this would be the right thing for me to do.
Yeah, we met. I used to be a lettering artist, and Paula very graciously invited me to teach for her calligraphy guild out in Los Angeles. And that's how we met, and we had this wonderful experience together in 1997, and then we lost contact until very recently. So it's nice when you get old friends back again. That's like the best thing ever.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about your experiences in the sabbatical in just a minute. Wendy, can you hear me? What led you to do this program?
Can you hear me?
Okay. I can hear you great. Can you hear me?
Okay, great. Perfect. Well, actually, I had no intention of doing the program.
I know.
I told Cheryl that I would listen to the first day and kind of give a review so that I could help her, you know, kind of market it. So I was going to listen to the first day, and then after the first day I was hooked, and I, you know, didn't want to stop, so I signed up for the rest of the 22 days. And it was really cool.
Great. Well, you know how it works. You know, the first one is free, then you got to pay for it. You know, that's the rule of life. So I'm very glad. I was hoping you were going to take it. I knew your energy was going to be a very important part of this group experience. And I guess I should explain why I started doing this right now. I knew I wanted to do a sabbatical. I knew I wanted to offer a program for people who didn't have either the money or the freedom to do a sabbatical in a traditional way. And I was waiting for a long time, and I'm going to credit this radio show with why I did it. I want to tell you, if you guys ever want to host radio, this is the place to go. BBS is such a great place to host. And the twin brothers who run this, Don and Doug Newsom, they're the nicest men, and they're so supportive, and they really want their host to have a great experience. So they've been building back my confidence. Ever since I started my show in September, I had had a stroke, and I didn't have a lot of confidence in my ability to host. It was difficult to come out with the words and to come out with not losing your train of thought and all those things that really good hosts try to do. We try to seem conscious. We try to listen. And they've done such a great job supporting me that I found myself getting better and better at hosting again. And I thought, well, if I can host radio, let's do this sabbatical. So I owe a lot of this to them. So thank Don on the phone when you're done here. He's a good guy. So let us talk about the experiences. Paula, you wanted to refresh your life. Things were going wrong for you. So when you started the program, what shifted for you? You had a very rapid shifting experience in the first couple of days. Could you tell us about that?
Sure. I think it was the fourth day where your question was, you have unfinished business with someone who died. And my father died in 1999. I'm the oldest. I definitely identify with that daddy's girl label, but my father was as big of a heart as he had and as loving as he was. There was a lot of things that we could not do, a lot of behaviors that were unacceptable, and one of the biggest behaviors that was unacceptable was you don't talk back. You could be in the midst of a conversation, and if the tone of your voice shifted in a way that he found to be disrespectful, he would shut you down right away. And one of the things that I learned from that, and I didn't realize it until you said to us, you know, do you have unfinished business? After that session was over, I knew that I needed to have a conversation with my father, because people who get angry at me, I shut down, and I don't do well with anger. I walk away from it. I don't respond to it. And I needed to have a conversation with my dad. I knew I needed to talk this through. And my dad wore Old Spice cologne, and I have the last bottle of Old Spice cologne that was in his medicine cabinet, and I pulled it out and I took a deep sniff, and I guess I'm going to start to cry again. It broke me open. That's all I can tell you, is it just broke me open, and I had to be able to say to my dad, I can't continue going through life this way. I have to be able to respond to people in the moment. I've got to find the way to do that. I can't shut down when people are angry. I have to be able to express my own anger. And it was huge. It really was huge. It took me several hours to recover from that personal conversation with my dad. It was right away that this started to create a shift in my life.
That is enormously brave of you, Paula. I'm so proud of you for doing that. How did it feel having the conversation with him?
It was so hard, because there's still that little girl inside me that doesn't want to be disrespectful. And so I had to start the conversation by saying, you know, please, Dad, I hope you understand. I'm not being disrespectful, but I just have to let you know where your expectations on me have left me as an adult. And it was
I mean, like I said, my dad died in 1999, and to have this realization, I was broken open. I was broken open. That's all I can tell you. I don't know any other way to say it.
That's beautiful. Did you hear any feedback from him as you were speaking, or was this all on your side?
I think that when I closed my eyes, it was more like sensing his presence, just sensing his presence and, you know, visualizing him, you know, shaking his head in agreement and allowing it all to just let go.
Nice. And since you've done this, and again, I commend you for your courage in doing this. This is a huge move. What shifted in your life?
It's still hard, you know, because it's a shift in my personality that needs to be made. But, you know, I've had a couple of conversations recently with my daughter, who she's pregnant, so I want to, you know, give the hormonal piece, you know, a little acknowledgement there, but there have been a couple of conversations that we've had that get a little heavy, and when she gets into that angry space, I just have to look at her and say, not going there with you. I'm not going there with you. When you're calm and we can talk about it, then we'll come back to it later.
Good for you. How does it feel to take control of that? We haven't done that before, apparently. How does that feel to do that?
It's difficult, and at the same time, it's allowing me to take a deep breath. And because of the relationship that my daughter and I have, it certainly is with somebody that I trust and love and know trusts and loves me in return. So, you know, our relationship won't end because of this ability to share. But it's even shifted, you know, our way of conversing with each other.
Wow. That's just so gorgeous. And thank you for sharing that. That's inspirational. You know, so it doesn't matter what stage of life you're at. You can change things. You can take your power. You can have those conversations. Just because somebody passed doesn't mean you can't speak your heart. Not at all. You can do it, and it feels so much better to have done that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Wendy... Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm so proud of you for doing this, and thank you for sharing your story. If anybody's listening and they have unfinished business with somebody who died, see, every day we had a different adventure, and usually I would make them up on the fly. I didn't really have a game plan when this 22-day program began. I would see what was up for me, and I would present an adventure, and it turned out that most of the people in the group would say things like, well, I'm really glad you talked about that because that's one of my issues right now, which worked out really, really well. And I would assume that the March group will be different than the February group. It's going to be a different bunch of people. So, you know, I'm glad we were able to address something that resonated with you. That makes me very happy. Okay. And Wendy, could you talk about your experience? Did you have a broken open thing like Paula had? Did you have a gradual series of experiences? What did it feel like for you to be in the program?
It was more of being able to stop and look around and kind of notice your surroundings instead of always being on the go. I would really, you know, even if people can't necessarily take 22 days off to do a sabbatical, I would still recommend, you know, doing it because you can do it, you know, at your convenience. And even though I wasn't able to take 22 days off, you know, it just kind of slows you down to where you can look around and kind of notice things that you wouldn't normally notice, you know, in doing the exercises.
Can you give us an example of something that you started noticing that wasn't in your norm before?
Just the not reading, you know, the just noticing the things that are around you without putting labels on it. You know, that was one of the exercises that we did, you know, that was you know, something that is so simple, but it really does make you kind of be in the now, you know, when you're not always labeling everything throughout the day.
Doesn't it feel great to not have to label, to not have to interpret, to just look and wonder like you're a child again and say, wow, pretty colors, rather than
exactly.
saying, God, that stain on the street looks really disgusting. Instead, you can go back to that 3-year-old interview and say, those are really pretty colors. I don't care what caused it.
Exactly, yeah.
And for you, those of you listening, it was only half an hour a day. We would get together at 10 o'clock to 10:30 Eastern time, 7 to 7:30 Pacific time, and Paula, God bless her, was up at 7 o'clock almost every morning. She was right there with us. So it starts off the day in a positive note, and then you go out and you have a brief homework assignment, and it puts that lesson in is what it does. And, you know, it's the sort of thing that one builds upon the other. If we were still in the program, I would be developing a lesson around something I found today. And I was cleaning, and I always say cleaning is a bad thing, really. It's the devil's work. So I was going through a box of stuff from my mother, and it was stuff I hadn't looked at in many years. And I found she'd written an autobiography. My mom, in 1978, was taking college-level courses. She never graduated college at the right time. As she said in her letter, they ran out of money, and she had no motivation. I didn't know she had no motivation. She'd always blamed it on no money. So I learned in the letter that was only half of the story. And I learned some things about my mother in that letter, and I learned some things about my father in that letter. And it's kind of upsetting to not know this stuff when they're still alive. So I would design an adventure tomorrow around what happens if you learn things about your family after the fact. You know, how do you handle it, and what is your lesson in there? How can you integrate this in a way that's going to move you purposely forward on your path? So that's the kind of things we would do in the program. Now on Catalytic Radio, we're continuing our conversation with Wendy and Paula about what it's like to stay at home for 22 days for half an hour every morning and have a sabbatical experience, time when you get to go and examine your life from a different perspective. So we were just talking about a breakthrough that Paula had in talking with her father, and Wendy was discussing just the thing about not having to read. This is one of the exercises we did, that their assignment was to go out and just notice things in terms of colors and shapes, not read. And it's such a fun experience to do that. Wendy, when you had this experience of just not reading, what did it feel like to go through that, and what did you notice about yourself when you started not to read?
Just that, you know, it's just a lot easier to live in the moment, you know, and kind of just, you know, just enjoy things as they are and not really... you know, not really be so attached to, you know, just doing stuff all the time and reading and looking and paying attention to things for them being things. You could just, like, notice the sky and notice, you know, just things without labeling them. And that's what I really just found intriguing.
Is it something you're still practicing, even though the 22 days are over? Do you still find yourself trying that out every once in a while?
Mm-hmm. I do, definitely. Yeah, and a lot of the things that that we did, you know, I would have never thought to do, but doing them kind of opens your eyes to, like, different experiences that you kind of get in the rut of just doing the same thing day after day, and it kind of, you know, opened you up to being more present and you know, doing things that aren't necessarily the norm.
Well, I'm glad that had the effect on you. Whenever I've done this in my own life, it makes me feel happier. You know, I don't want to keep using my brain 24/7 anymore. And I like the idea of giving my brain some time off and just exploring the world as a child would. You know, when we're children,
exactly.
The world doesn't feel as complicated as it does right now. You know, sometimes we can know too much, or we can interpret too much, or we look for meaning in everything. And sometimes the meaning is, wow, pretty colors. And if you get that out, I think that's enough maintenance. So I'm glad you enjoyed that experience. So let's talk about some of the topics that we covered during our 22 days together. I have a list, because God knows I wouldn't remember these otherwise. One adventure, the assignment was take a bold step. And Paula, I think you got a story about a crystal that you'd like to share with us.
I do, because you had shared the power of crystals, and I thought, okay, let's try it. Let's see what happens. So I went online trying to find a place here in the Los Angeles area that's close to me where I could buy a crystal. And I didn't quite know what I wanted yet. I found a store that's not too far away from me. Can I mention the name of the store?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, it's called the Imagine Center. They have a website, theimaginecenter.com. And it's not a very big shop right now, but they are doubling in size. I'm curious to see what happens. And I've probably driven by this store hundreds of times, but for no reason did I ever, I never had a reason for going in. Anyway, so on Friday, I went over there, and as soon as I walked in the store, this woman behind the counter greeted me and, I mean, just welcomed me in. Her name is Africa, and she was very helpful. I told her that I wanted a crystal, and I shared with her that I'm searching for a job right now. You know, my finances are challenged. I also shared that I'm in a program for getting healthier internally, physically, and losing weight. And she said, I have stones for you. And she brings out a slew of green stones. And I looked at her and I said, green is my favorite color. And she started to laugh. Basically, what I did is I laid all the stones out on the counter, and I really do believe, I did believe in that moment that one of the stones was going to talk to me. One of those stones was going to say, I'm the one that you need to have. And I picked every one of them up. I put it in the palm of my hand. Immediately, there were stones that were ice cold. I knew I didn't want ice cold near me. And this one stone that I came back to a few times, anytime I held it in the palm of my hand, let alone that it wasn't as cold as the other stone, when I would close my hand around it, it literally warmed my hand. I'm holding it in my hand right now. And I wanted it. It took me about 15, 20 minutes to go through all of the stones. I wanted a stone that was, I don't even know what it's going to do for me. I just knew that I needed something that would, you know, just help me connect to healing some of the challenges that are going on in my life. The name of the stone that I bought is Green Aventurine. I don't know anything about it.
I had a feeling
it
was Aventurine. I knew that was supposed to be one of those. That's a good stone, too. It's a really lovely energy.
Well, I'm holding it right now. She turned it into a pendant for me by wrapping it and tying knots and curlicues with silver. It's beautiful. I still have to get some kind of a chain so that I can wear it. But if, I mean, just the heat of it right now is telling me that there's energy in the stone, and I know that wearing it is going to impact my internal energy. So that was a bold step for me, you know, just trusting that something from nature can help create a shift in my life. So.
Yeah, I'm really happy that you had the sensitivity to go through a whole stack of stones and say, this is ice cold, I don't want this. And this one seems alive in my hand. Did you have that kind of sensitivity before we did this adventure?
Oh, yes. Years ago, I did a past life regression. And the gentleman who did it handed me a deck of cards and said, pick a card from the deck. You know, they were face down. He said, just pick a card from the deck. And I kept coming back to, again, a card that felt hot. And ultimately, you know, after shuffling through this deck of cards a few times, this same card, I just pulled it out of the deck and knew that that was going to be my card. And it turned out to be a butterfly. And many, 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 many times in my life, I have felt like that butterfly coming out of the cocoon. This is 20 years ago. And I've got a connection to butterflies. That's all I can tell you.
That's wonderful. It's a great find
to have.
That
card was hot. It was hot.
Good.
So, trusting my instincts on that one.
I apologize for speaking over you. I'm having a hard time hearing you, Paula, so I don't want to be rude, so please accept my apology. I'm trying my best here. One of the great things about feeling our way through life is many times our feelings have a lot of wisdom that we don't always pay attention to. We talked about that in the class a lot. You know, instead of being living in the brain all the time, get into touch with what the body has to say. And Wendy, did you use any of that in your experience in the class? Did you get more in touch with your body?
Yeah, actually I did. You know, when you're in a very, very, I guess, dense, I have a very dense existence, you know, with my work and, you know, a lot of people don't really believe in the same things that I do. You know, so it's kind of nice to be able to kind of share the things that were in common with the group that weren't with, you know, my family or the people I work with.
That's nice to have that kind of group. Yes, Susan had posted. Susan is going to be my guest, by the way, in 2 weeks on Catalytic. Susan is the one from Canada. And she posted in our secret Facebook group that it was very helpful for her to feel the energy of everybody else while she was going through the adventures. And you're saying you felt that as well.
Yes.
How does it feel to be bonded with a bunch of people you've not met except for your own sister? And I mean, you've not met these people before. And everybody's all over the country. You've got this Facebook group. And we talked yesterday on the phone, and while we're talking today, how does it feel to actually see these people have voices?
Yeah, they're awesome, all of them. They're fantastic. It was a great kinship, you know, just spending 22 days together and just, you know, just seeing what people had to share, and it was really cool.
You know, I want to share a story. We had one of the days, again, was Take a Bold Step. So there is a crystal called amelite, which is not easy to get in the States. It is mined in Alberta, in Canada. It comes from one mine only, I believe, and there's a very short supply of it. And I had had an amelite 4 years ago. When I had the stroke, I happened to be in Toronto a few months later doing brain training and doing some other things. And I found a piece of amelite, and it helped me handle some of the sensory overwhelm that I experienced right after the stroke. I'd gone into the train station in Toronto to change my ticket. I was tired, couldn't have traveled that day if I wanted to. But the train station in Toronto, Union Station, is one of these huge classic train stations like Penn Station, New York used to be, or the train station in Los Angeles is. And I couldn't be in the big space. The thing in my brain that allowed me to be in big spaces had blown. So I freaked out, which is something that never happened before the stroke, and I needed to change my ticket. There was nobody to do it for me. So I ran across the street to the hotel, the Royal York Hotel, which is a famous hotel, and there was a tour that said that they sold amelite, and something inside of me said, you need to be checking this thing out. So I went over, and I asked to hold a piece of amelite, and the woman let me hold it for about 15 minutes, and it really made me feel great. So I went back over to change my ticket. Not only did I change the ticket, I was able to admire the architecture, which was really cool. So since we did that one adventure, Take a Bold Step, I decided it's time to get myself a new piece of amelite. The other one that I purchased during that trip, I purchased a very small piece of it, had it for 3 years, and then it vanished. So I figured it's time to get a new piece of amelite. So I did the adventures right along with the people in the group. And I said, I'm going to look for amyloid. So the first thing I had to challenge was the belief system of, this is too expensive. I can't afford it right now. If I'm supposed to get something, it's going to show up for me. And sure enough, I found an amyloid pendant that was in my price range. And it was from Toronto, interestingly enough. So I didn't want that color, but I used a pendulum and I doused. My dowsing was very definite that this was the pendant I was supposed to get. Don't look, this is the one you're supposed to get. So I ordered it from these guys, and it's on the way. I'll have it in a couple of days, most likely. But here's the cool thing. I wrote them an email explaining what amyloid had done for me in stroke recovery. And I got the nicest email back from one of the two jewelry designers. And these guys are going to be my guests on Catalytic on March the 22nd. They're going to talk about how they work with the crystals. Their names are Francis Klein and Maddie Bartolome. And one of them is the designer. Manny is the designer. And Manny also has the gift of clearing out energy from the crystals that doesn't serve. So if somebody handled the crystal who didn't have good energy, he could clear that out. And then Francis has the great gift of charging each crystal with light energy. So when you get one of their crystals, you get something very, very special. And Francis also told me that he is now, with Manny, going to design crystals for people like me who've had a stroke. Because amyloid is the number one crystal for stroke recovery. I had no idea. It's not very common in the States, but it's more common in Canada. So I told him my story. And now because I took a bold step, look what happened. Took a bold step, got an amyloid in my price range, which I couldn't believe, met these two wonderful men who are going to be my friends. You're going to meet them on March 22nd at Catalytic. They're going to be my guests talking about their work with the crystals. And they're going to be designing crystals for people like me who've had strokes. Isn't this the coolest thing when you take a bold step? Look at how life opens up. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
So I wanted to share that story because I felt really on target to do that. So let us continue talking. Paula, I noticed how enthusiastic you were every day with the class. It was so cool to see this. How did it feel going through, you've lived your life, you're over 21, so you've lived your life for over 21 years, and you're used to it going in a particular fashion, and here's this this lunatic from New Jersey telling you, try doing this, try doing that. How did that feel to you to be challenged to do all these different things?
Well, I don't mind telling how old I am, so I'm going to be 63 in April. And I think that on every single day, there was always something that you brought to us that was relevant to something that was happening in my life during these last 22 days. I mean, not that it was specific to that day, but I don't want to say that there's 22 issues in my life, that I'm working on. But
yeah.
Everything you did had relevance to who I am at this moment in time. And that was the piece that was like those aha moments that, oh my God, you're like living in my house, you're seeing what I'm experiencing, and you're giving me tools on steps to take, what to do next. Whether I'm going to let go or I'm going to grab the bull by the horn. Something spoke to me in a much louder way than others. But it was, I'm sorry to see it come to an end, that's for sure.
Me too. Thank you for sharing that. And I have it in your house. You're just not looking in the right places. After we get off the phone, take a look. I'm under the bed, okay? I just blew it. So, Wendy, as you were going through this as well, and you weren't always on the live call, you would listen to it later on in the day. And it's the same energy later in the day as it is on the live call. We all know this. So what opened up for you as you went through this program? What opened up for you in the way you live your life?
I think I'm a lot more comfortable with what I feel is right. Like the Love Week thing was really, really, really eye opening, because it's always been difficult for me to kind of do things for people because I'm not sure how well it's going to be received. So that to me was like kind of eye-opening to be able to step out and to know that the, you know, to get the feedback that it was something that, that was received. And, you know, that just getting that was really helpful, the feedback.
I would love it if you would explain to them about Love Week. How was this set up? What did you have to do? And what happened during that week that you had with somebody else?
So we had to take somebody that we didn't necessarily know, you know, and kind of research them and do a little cyber stalking and kind of find out what they like, what they, you know, something that you think that they would appreciate or need or you know, could use at that moment. You know, and the first time I sent something, and my person was Susan, the first time I sent something, I didn't hear back for like, you know, she's in, I think, somewhere Canada maybe, but she didn't answer right away. So I was like, oh, maybe I did the wrong thing, you know, and you know, when she finally did get, she's like, oh, that's so nice. And, you know, I love that person too. And, you know, it kind of started up dialogue, but, you know, that first, you know, when she didn't respond right away, it was like, you know, I felt a little nerve wracking, but it ended up being good. But we had to do for, I guess it was 7 days to send something, you know, that you feel like would correspond with something that they would be able to use every day.
So we did social media things like passing along quotes or
yeah.
What else did you guys do?
Yeah.
I didn't get an idea of what we're all doing every day. Was there anything different than passing along quotes? Or that's effective right there.
I sent a couple YouTube videos
Nice.
That I thought she might like, yeah. But, you know, just based on the things that I found out about her from looking at her website and looking at her Facebook profile, that was pretty much all I could find on her. And then I asked Cheryl, of course. But
yeah, it's always nice when you can blab on your good friends and say, this is what she likes, or this is what she
likes. Yeah, exactly.
So we worked on it really, really well. You know, and then the way this was set up was, everybody would give to somebody, but then somebody else would give to them. So they were giving without any expectation of getting back from the person they were giving to. How did that feel for you, Wendy, to go through that experience?
Yeah, it was a little rough in the beginning. Like I said, you know, she wasn't on that first day, you know, so I'm like, oh, you know, I sent the wrong thing. She didn't, you know. It wasn't something that she liked, and then, you know, when she did come on, she did like it, but, you know, it was kind of like that fear of, you know, somebody not liking something that you chose for them.
Yeah.
But it ended up good.
Good. Paula, which was easier for you, giving to people or receiving from people?
It was very easy for me to give. I don't know who the person was who was supposed to be giving to me, so I really wasn't on the receiving end.
Sorry.
Okay, it's okay. And as it turned out, the person that I was giving to was Wendy. And
yes.
What I ended up sharing were quotes that I would see, you know, on the Facebook feed. And, you know, we're a three-hour time difference. Most of the time when I would send something to Wendy, she would pretty quickly respond. And so we had, you know, a few minutes in Facebook Messenger of chatting with each other, which was, you know, another opportunity for getting to know her, somebody who is on the other side of the country. So I'm looking forward to meeting her. Hopefully,
me yeah. too.
Yeah. When I come to the East Coast in June, you know, hopefully we'll be able to get this group together.
Yes.
We're going to meet for high tea. That's a date. And I'm hoping to get Susan down from Canada as well. But wouldn't that be great for us all to have a chance to see each other's faces and chat in person? I really look forward to that.
Yeah. I do, too.
It's going to happen. So going through some of the other days, I didn't plan on talking about energy vampires for 3 days, and it happened. It just, that's an issue that came up in my life while the program was going on. We talked about that. And energy vampire is a phrase that's thrown around a lot, and it's not necessarily somebody who's evil. It can be somebody who's just used to getting energy from other people, which is a habit they may have picked up from their families or something that happened to them, and they didn't realize they're doing anything wrong. We talked about ways of identifying when somebody is taking energy. Have you used any of that in your lives? And if you have used those techniques, are you noticing you have more energy, or are you still learning how to use it? How's that going for you? Either of you.
I have not. I happen to have two very strong energy vampires in my life, but I have not spoken to them since we had the conversation. But the information that you provided us with gave me a whole different perspective on, you know, truly. One of them I talked to on the phone, you know, maybe once or twice a month, and after the phone conversation, I absolutely feel drained. And it really turns out to be a one-way conversation. She shuts you down as soon as you try to share, because she's always able to say, well, my life is worse than yours. Well, you think you've got it bad? Let me tell you how bad my experience is with whatever it might be that we're talking about. And it's hard to get off the phone with her, and it's hard to... you know, have these conversations, but it's a family member who I love dearly, and so it's not somebody that I can shut out of my life, but you just gave me a different understanding of what it means to be an energy vampire.
Yeah, there's a lot of information here. I'm actually going to be doing a teleseminar on this very subject on Thursday. You guys don't know this because I sent this up today. So on February the 25th, at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, an instant teleseminar. We've got a free, as in F-R-E-E, teleseminar called Identifying and Neutralizing Energy Thieves. So it's going to go from 8 to 9 p.m. this Thursday night, and it's going to be on my Facebook page. So if you're not my Facebook friend, I have a radio Facebook page. It's going to be there. Check it out. And my Facebook page is under my name, Cheryl Hirsch Kramer, and no RSVP. I'm not getting an email address from you or anything like that. Just come on in. We're going to talk about energy thieves, and we're going to introduce more of the 22 adventures. So if you want to join us for the March group, this gives you an idea of what we're going to be covering. And I hope you'll join us. So you guys, I'm going to put this in our group. If you want to join me on Thursday night, that'd be great. And it, of course, will be available on the archive as well if you can't be there live. So no problem with that. Wendy, how is your energy going? Have you noticed, have you put any of these techniques to work in your life about energy themes? Are you feeling any difference?
I don't really, I can't identify anybody that would fit into that category. I guess I just don't surround myself with, you know, if somebody I feel I don't want to be around them, I'll just, like, mm-hmm. not be around them. I don't sit in a situation that I feel uncomfortable, and I think I would feel uncomfortable if I came across somebody like that. So I would shut it down pretty quickly.
That's good. You know, one of the things that I have noticed since the stroke, I'm a lot more sensitive. And if somebody does something unexpected, I can feel it draining the energy out of me. And it may not be somebody who's even aware that they're doing this, but somebody who changes plans at the last minute, or somebody who I think is a friend and they say something unkind or whatever, I can feel the energy drain right out of me. So one of the things that we teach in this is to try to not take any of this stuff personally, just to stay as neutral as possible, because when you get emotional about it, they get more energy from you. And we're going to be talking about that tonight as well. But, you know, a lot of what I have found as I was teaching this, I got really sensitive to what was going on in my own life. And a lot of times the people who drain energy, they don't know that they're doing it, and you don't know that you're being drained until you come home from your day and say, wow, I feel awful. Why is that happening? So we will play with that. I think we're getting too close to the end. I'm not sure where we are with time, and I know Don will tell me. But one of the things I wanted to ask you both is about magic. We talked a lot about making magic. Do you feel more magical now?
I would say more in control.
That's like a good place
more,
to be.
Yeah.
How's that showing up for you when you say you feel more in control? Give me an example of when that shows up for you.
I mean, I just feel like more like the choices that I make are playing into the outcome. You know, it's not just
cool.
Haphazard.
Good for you. How about you, Paula? Are you noticing anything different in your ability to be a magician in your own life?
Yes, as a matter of fact, there's a program, an educational program that I want to bring to the Los Angeles area for teachers. And what I've been working on the last couple of weeks is really focusing on my intention. I strongly believe in what it is that I want to do, but I'm trying to be more specific and visualizing it and knowing that it's going to be something that's going to happen. I was actually in conversation recently with the dean of the college that is going to, you know, where it's going to come from, and he's supporting me. The challenge is finding a funder, but I know that there's a funder who's going to come through for this program. And it has a lot to do with the energy that I'm putting into the magic of making it happen.
I'm so proud of you. Look at you. Look where you've come in the last month. It's so wonderful to hear this. And you know it's going to happen. You're committed to this happening, so therefore the universe will make it happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Good girl. I'm so proud of both of you. If anybody listening, if you want to join us for the next 22 adventures, you can go to transformingthroughlove.com/events. You can read about the program there and sign up. And if it doesn't call you to do a group program, please consider doing an individual program. Just find a way to refresh your life. Because, you know, when you get that mindset change, when you hit the reset button on your life, it's amazing what can open up. Once you forget that you can't do something or that you haven't done in the past. What's going on?
Hello?
Hi, I heard some noise in the background. So,
sorry.
If you feel the need to do something different with your life, take a sabbatical. It is absolutely the way to go. And please join us again in 2 weeks when our guest will be Susan Meehan, who is a body, mind, spirit, medicine expert who lives in London, Ontario, Canada. And she's going to share a story about how she healed her relationship with her father after he died. Paula, you're going to want to hear this one. It's a great story.
I absolutely
and
do, yes.
You got to be here for that one. I'm so grateful for both of you for choosing to be with us tonight. We had some technical issues, but you guys were troopers, and I'm so happy that you stuck it out and you shared your story so openly and honestly. And thank you for being who you've been in this class. You've revved me up every day, and I love you both. You're wonderful people.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Oh, you're the best. So we are going to see you back in 2 weeks. Tell your friends about Catalytic Radio, please. And we have archives available for you. So please check my website, transformingthroughlove.com. And we will see you in 2 weeks. And until then, many blessings to all of you, and get catalytic.